Good morning, church.
Good morning.
So good to be back with you guys. Hope all is well. Hope all is safe. I pray that the Lord will continue to give you direction and provision, wisdom in your life. I pray that your family and everything that's connected with you, your children, your businesses, your school, your friends, everything that pertains to you and all that is involved with your life would be blessed of God, that he would show you how strong he is for your cause and who you are and what God has in store for you in the future for you and all that's concerning you. Let's pray before we get started. God, we thank you for an opportunity to be together. I thank you for an opportunity to speak to these, your blessed ones, and I pray that you would use everything that is done and said here and in this place today to further your kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Whenever I was just getting to know my in-laws after George and I got married, I came to find out that Georgie's dad was an avid beekeeper. He loved bees. They were never fascinating to me. You know, we even had a little hive in our home at one point. That sounds kind of strange. We had it between glass whenever we were homeschooling years ago to watch the bees. And my father-in-law, he was so fascinated by them because he said, Artie, bees have been around thousands, tens of thousands and thousands of years. But yet scientists have devoted their life to the study of bees, and they still are learning new things about bees they didn't know, even though they're so simplistic. He said, it doesn't matter how much they continue to learn and understand about bees. There are three things in bees that are simply hardwired. It doesn't matter what species, what continent, where they are. There are three things within a bee that is hardwired that they can't deny. The first is a bee is hardwired to build a hive. That's a compulsion that they simply cannot deny. They have to build a hive. And the second thing is that they have to protect the hive from all predators, other species of bees or hornets, someone trying to knock it down, someone trying to rob the honey. Doesn't matter what it is, they are hardwired to protect the hive. And third, they are hardwired to care for one another. They generally want to protect and guard those that are within the hive. I'm going to move this forward a little bit, if you don't mind. That's what they're hardwired to do. They can't deny that. In all species, there are certain things that are hardwired, and we're no different. Human beings, we are hardwired to need certain things. And all of us have these needs. You know, when we were created in the image of God. It's like God putting his thumbprint on each and every one of us and says, I want you to be like me. I want you to understand who I am at my heart. Yes. And so he created us in his own image. And many years ago, a secular guy by the name of Maslow, he came up with Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And it, even though it's a secular list, it still reflects biblical truth. And he studied and came up with the five needs of every single living, breathing human. Simply needs and hardwired to have. The first is their physical needs being met. How many of you already been hungry this morning? Man, I woke up this morning. You know, I'm not going to say it's sad, but the older I get, the more I'm like turning like my dad. I see him and I just say, oh my gosh, I'm looking just like my dad. And there was one thing that my dad always said. He loved breakfast, and whenever he would wake up, he said, I could just step out of bed right to a table. I'm ready to eat just as soon as I get up. And I remember when I was younger, I said, that was the stupidest thing. You know, you can't be hungry as soon as you wake up. Yes, you can. Amen. I'm getting older, get more like my dad. I'm hungry as soon as I wake up. But how many of you haven't been hungry this morning, were hungry yesterday or day before? Last week, we all get hungry, right? That's a physical need. We need food. We need water. We need shelter. How many of you, when it starts to rain, you run out in the rain? Oh, come on. When it's thunder and lightning, how many of you want to run out and get struck by lightning? I dare you to raise your hand. I mean, we want shelter, right? We want shelter from the storm. We have hardwired to have physical needs. And the second is that we have the need for safety and security. No one likes to be in danger. When's the last time you were really scared? When you thought that your life was in danger, you heard footsteps, you heard something, you thought someone had broken into your home. That boom, 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 that adrenaline starts to pump you. Oh my gosh. And you become that fight or flight. You become so aware of your surroundings. You're just hyper-hearing everything, hyper-seeing everything. That's because we're hardwired to want to be safe. We can't exist very long in a position where we don't feel safe, that we don't feel guarded. That's a need that we have. And the third is that we have a need for relationships. It's hardwired into us. There's some species of animal that the moment that they give birth from their mother, they're wired to go out on their own, seek their own thing, do it by themselves. That's not the way God has wired us. We are wired that we need to have a relationship with other people. Some people can disguise or say, I don't really need anyone else. That doesn't negate the point that that's not the way you are. You can say that, but every single one of us needs relationships. And not just relationships, but wholesome relationships where we feel loved. We feel accepted. And, you know, we feel like this group, this circle of people, they can know who I really am, and they still love and accept me. To know who I really am. That reminds me over the last, I don't know, 6 months or a year or whatever it is, when this whole world's going crazy, it seems like everybody's angry. You know, everybody's mad. Everybody's mad. Everybody's angry. And, you know, people just losing their minds on planes and everywhere else. And road rage has got to be up. And I was noticing this a couple weeks ago. I was like, you know, in my experience, this is just me subjectively speaking, who I've noticed who has the most road rage consistently. This is a profile. We'll give you a profile of what I've experienced. The most aggressive road ragers. Ready for it? 30-year-old male driving a minivan. That's him. Especially if he's got car seats in the back, you're doomed. I'm being completely honest. And I think it's because these guys, they're in their 30s, and they just feel decimated. You know, he'd rather be driving a Hummer. You know, if you drove a Hummer and you had a couple car seats in the back, you still had, yeah. But you can't do that in a minivan. I don't care how big and bad you are, you can't look tough in a minivan. And as a man, I don't want to be associated with anything that's mini. I remember some years ago when I was traveling a lot, I took Jonathan Pierceman with me on a trip, and I forgot who else was there, but it was three of us. And we walk into a Dairy Queen, and we wanted to get a Blizzard. And so I ordered mine. The other guy ordered his, and Jonathan comes up and says, can I have a Butterfinger Mini?
Oh, Lord.
I mean, me and the other guy, we looked and said, well, hold up, dude. No, sir. You can never, ever order anything that's mini. Especially when you're with us. You know, we don't take anything mini in my car. No. We don't do mini. And it's something about, you know, if you, man, there's nothing about me that's mini. And these guys that are driving these vans, I think they're subconsciously being aggressive because they're angry. Because they're thinking to themselves, you're looking at me driving a minivan with car seats, and that's not who I am. You have no idea how bad I am. I am an alpha male, but you can't look like that. So what he's saying is, you don't know the real me. This minivan is hiding and disguising who I really am. And we need relationships that we have a circle of friends that will know us for who we are. Not for our facade, not what we're driving or we want people to see or don't want people to see, but our real selves. That is a basic need that we're hardwired for. The fourth is we need esteem. We all have self-esteem. We have a need. We're hardwired to feel good about ourselves. And so we need a circle of people around us that they tell us that we're valuable. They tell us that we've done a good job. They see our accomplishments. They've seen what we've been able to do, and they applaud us. Even when the only thing we actually deserved was a participation ribbon, they still make us feel good about ourselves. We need people around us to help our self-esteem. And finally, actualization. That just simply means that you get to a point of maturity in your life where you are really convinced about your purpose, about your direction, about your path, and you are intent on following that purpose. And so much so that your self-esteem doesn't get in the way and you need approval from everyone else in order to pursue that purpose. And that actualization should come from your circle of friends that help you to understand what your purpose is and even to applaud you and help you in that God-given purpose, even though they may not think for the moment that's right for you. It's not that you're going out and make some big mistake, but they want to affirm in you that you're following God's purpose. We are a people that need a circle of friends around us. And I'm not talking about social media friends. Understand, family is preeminently important and valuable in our lives. That goes without saying. But when I say a circle of friends, I mean a circle of friends that is outside of your family. If we become so in-focused with this only our family, quite often, you can't really speak the truth to a family member, or how many of you parents have come to understand that you can tell your kids something and they don't want to do it, but if somebody else tells them, then they will do it. You ever had that with your kids?
Amen.
Yeah. You need somebody outside of your personal life, a family member. You need a circle of friends that are outside of that circle. And the question becomes is, you know, what kind of circle should you have? You need a circle of friends that are for you, that they're helped like a beehive. They're to build with you. They're there to protect you. They're there to provide for you. This circle of friends. And it's absolutely vital to what you have. And, you know, in this, the world that we're living in now, it's even more vital. We're living in a very difficult culture and time in order to thrive and prosper. You know, I hate to use this analogy, but it's almost like being in prison. I've never been in prison, don't want to go in prison. And in the name of Jesus, I'll never go to prison unless I encounter more angry men in minivans. But in prison, I've heard, seen, that when you're in prison, you have to almost immediately come up with some circle that you're a part of. Because in prison is a very, very hostile environment. Very hostile. And so if you can't watch your back all the time, you can't have the eyes in the back of your head, you need people who are with you who can help protect you. And a circle of friends is extremely important, and we have to have a right circle of friends. And that's why our circle matters. Now I'm going to tell you a story this morning about a guy who had the right kind of friends. We find his story in the New Testament book of Luke in chapter 5. This man was paralyzed. He was paralyzed completely from the neck down. He had no movement on his own. The Bible doesn't tell us how long he's been like that, but it must have been for some time because he was referred to as a man. And so this guy had good friends, as we'll learn in a moment. This guy had good friends. You know, and whenever you're friends with someone who's really in a difficult situation, especially long term, you get tired. You're the one that has to so often be the one that supports and helps and gives and provides. This guy had friends that didn't get tired with him. You could imagine they had prayed many times for his healing, and certainly every day he would cry out to God for his healing. He could see the world passing him by, everyone having to do everything for him. It was difficult. And one day they heard that this man named Jesus was nearby. He was in a home teaching Pharisees and Sadducees and religious leaders, civic leaders, community leaders. He was there teaching them. And they've heard all the stories. Word travels fast. Some people say this guy is a prophet. Some say he may even be Son of God. But he has this power for God, and in the name of God, he's healing people. He's causing the tongue-tied to speak, the eyes of the blind to be opened, and yes, the lame to walk. And you can imagine their desperation. It's like, this guy is here. We may never get this close to him again. This is a one-time shot. So his friends load him up. And what the Bible refers to as a stretcher or a mat, they had to carry their friend to this home to see Jesus. But when they got there, the crowd was huge. Standing room only. Even on the outside, you couldn't get to a window, certainly couldn't get to the door. Luke chapter 5, first part of verse 19, it says, but they could not find a way to get to him in the house because of the crowd. How many of you ever gone to a place that's too crowded and turn around and leave? That's part of my life. So you got, oh no. Yesterday I wanted a cheeseburger from Burger King so bad, went down Chestnut and it was out in the road. Oh no. I changed my mind. I don't want a cheeseburger. No. I don't want that anymore. But when the paralyzed guy's friends showed up and this place was too crowded, did they say, hey man, we'll check you later? We'll come back. Maybe we'll catch him at another time. No. The paralyzed man, he desperately needed to get to Jesus. You see, the right circle of friends will take you where you need to go. Amen. How many of you have ever had friends that take you somewhere and you don't really want to go there? And I mean, I'm not talking about necessarily a physical place, but say, look, dude, man, you really need to go to counseling. Nobody wants to go to counseling. No husband wants to go to marriage therapy. Dude, you really need to go, you need to go to the doctor. Dude, you've been sitting around this house too long playing video games. Dude, you got to go get a job. Real friends, the right circle of friends will take you where you need to go. And that's why your circle matters. The people who you align your life with matters. Because there's going to be times in your life when you're going to need somebody to take you to a place that you simply don't want to go. And I could imagine, you know, being paralyzed your whole life, being cared for, all the prayers, all the anointings, all the declarations, all the effort, all the failed medical procedures. You know, sometimes you would get to a place where you've just lost hope. And you don't want to even have the slightest glimpse of hope, because the only thing that you've known your whole life is on the other side of that hope is nothing but disappointment. So why am I going to set myself up for another disappointment and another hurt? I think I'm going to sit this one out. But his friend said, no, you need to go see this guy, Jesus. And not trying to be funny, dude couldn't fight back, right? He's paralyzed. Oh, we put you on your mat, bro. We care. And you, no, put me down. No, you're going. He couldn't kick. He wasn't kicking the stream, but his mind he was. You're not going to take me there. Yeah, we are. This is where you need to go. This is where you're going. Well, his friends were very creative. It says that they, even though they couldn't find a way into the house, they went up on the roof. They made an opening in the tiles and let the man down. They lowered him right in front of Jesus. It's a long line. Some of us would have quit there. I don't want to set myself up for more disappointment, another hurt. Some of us would have stopped there. But his friends were so intent on getting him in front of Jesus, because the right circle takes you where you can't go. There are going to be some places in your life that you simply can't do it on your own. Some things you can go on your own. A lot of people live a large part, if not they try to live their whole life on their own. But there are places that you simply can't go on your own, that you're going to need somebody. You're going to need a circle of people that are going to help you. You're going to need a circle of people that can speak life into you. Amen. When you want to give up and everything seems to be crowded and you simply can't get there on your own, you're going to need someone to come along and speak life to you. God can put people in your life that will help you get to the next level that you desire to be. I can't tell you what people have done in my life, my circle of friends around me, how they have through the years absolutely blessed me and changed the course of my entire life. My whole life would be different. When Georgie and I first got married, when we were thinking about having kids, there was a couple that came alongside us. They were from Clemson, and we went to their house quite often. They came to see us. They have 4 children, and they were the most incredible parents. And they discipled us as parents. If we didn't have that circle of friends, our marriage wouldn't turn out the way it has. Our kids certainly wouldn't turn out the way it have. My kids owe that couple a measure of debt because they were able to be raised in a household because that couple, I had a circle around Georgie and me that taught us some things that we simply couldn't get there on our own. It was something incredible to see how they interacted with their kids. We'd stay at their home for days on end. And they would just go about life, and I'd go fishing with Dan, and he'd take me somewhere, and we'd do things, and Georgie would do things with Jan, and just to see how they interacted with their kids, it was invaluable. That was the place that we could not go on our own. You can't get there. But the right circle will take you somewhere that you can't go on your own. And the paralyzed man, he could not. Could he get up and walk on the roof? I mean, listen, how much these guys cared, I would assume 2,000 years ago that breaking and entering was against the law. Could you imagine that? I got to tell you, come in through the roof of my house. I don't know if I'm going to be very forgiving. You know, pastor's packing. That's not That's not a good situation to be in. These guys were so bold. They were courageous. You know, just like a bee, when a bee is hardwired to protect the others in their hive against all predators, bees will lose their life in defense of those that are in the hive. These guys were really, they're risking a lot by doing that. That's why your circle matters. So when this guy gets through the roof, verse 24, and when Jesus saw their faith, in this context, I want to make sure you get this point. When Jesus saw their faith, not the paralytic guy, it wasn't his faith. He didn't have the faith. It wasn't his. It wasn't his faith that Jesus was blessing. That's an important point to understand. When Jesus saw his friend's faith, then he turned and said to the paralyzed man, now get up, pick up your stretcher, and go home. See, the right circle believes for you when you can't believe on your own. Have you ever been to a point in your life like that where you just simply can't believe anymore? This paralytic guy, he had gotten to that point. I can't believe anymore. It wasn't his fate. If it had been his, he would have been the one, take me, pick me up, take me to Jesus. No, man, take me to Jesus. I just know if I'm able to see Jesus and he puts his hand on me, speaks his words over me. That was not his fate. It was his friend's fate for him. You know, whenever the Bible talks about as others, we need to be a people that stand in the gap. That means there are many times in our life where we are, there's a gap between where we are and the provision and the understanding and the blessing of God. There's a gap in between. And because of whatever reason, where we are, we just simply can't make it to that point. We can't believe for it. Then you come and you stand in the gap as friends. You fill in that spot so they can get to where God wants them to be. Standing in the gap. His friends were believing for him. That's why your circle matters. So what did the paralyzed man do? The man immediately stood up in front of them and picked up the stretcher he had been lying on, praising God, and he went home. I'm sure his friends were cheering for him. They were shocked too, right? I mean, they have never seen Jesus heal anybody. They just heard the stories, but they still had the faith. But he had to be shocked. Could you imagine knowing somebody for years and years? Only time you've ever been able to spend with them is while they lie down on the mat. Having to get their pants changed and fed. And all of a sudden, they're up walking, carrying the very stretcher that you brought them in on. Wow. That would be a shocker. But you know, it's like his friends didn't abandon him. They didn't let him go home alone. Imagine that was some type of conversation going home. The right circle does not only believe for you, they believe in you. You see, when someone believes in you, they're with you for a long haul. They're not going to just leave you abandoned. Now, there are a lot of friends that are like that. I've had friends like that. Whenever things are good, they like you. If you're favoring them in some way, they like it. I've had some who would give me advice or say, you need to do this, and I don't do what they say. I'm done with you. If I somehow don't honor them or bless them some way, I'm done with that. Those are selfish people. Those are not godly, loving relationships. You need somebody who believes in you. Not just what you're doing at the moment, not because of things that you've done in the past or the bad things that you've done in the past. They believe in you. They see you who you are. They know that you're in a minivan right now, but that's not who you are. That's not you. They believe in you. That's why your circle matters. Proverbs 13 says, the one who walks with wise will become wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm. I don't know who the author is, but there's a well-known saying that says, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. And that is true. See, this is where it gets hard, because we all know that we need a circle around us. And what I'm telling you now is it's not an easy thing. It really isn't. It's quite difficult to develop new relationships and a new circle of friends. That takes a lot of effort. It really does. It takes a lot of emotional energy. It takes physical time. It takes understanding. It takes forgiveness. It takes grace. And let me encourage you, when you start to build a circle around you, don't do it as an echo chamber, okay? That's not what you need in your life. You know, an echo chamber is whenever you're around a circle of people that only agree with you, only have your point of view. There's nothing sadder than I see a circle of friends that they're basically surrounding themselves with people in especially now toxic in this environment, where they only agree with them politically. And so when they're together, it's just bouncing off one another. Oh, yeah, what about, yeah, back and forth. That does not accomplish anything, because the moment that you have some enlightenment that you don't agree with them about everything, they cut you off. They may find some way that they're trying to justify it biblically, but you're not agreeing with them politically? Oh, no, I'm done with you. You need a circle of friends who aren't afraid to speak the truth and doesn't want to argue with you. They don't condemn you from your point of view. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. The people that you hang around with, you're going to become like them. If your friends lie, you're going to lie. If your friends drink too much, you will drink too much. If your friends are lazy, you're going to be lazy. If your friends love God, you're going to learn to love God. If your friends are forgiving with you, you're going to learn to forgive. If your friends serve you, you will then begin to serve others. If you honor truth and integrity in your circle, you will learn those things from your circle. If you hang around successful people, you will become more successful. Doesn't mean you may be more successful than them, but successful people, they breed success. If you hang around people that are excellent in what they do, you will become excellent in what you do. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Look at your circle outside of your family. And I know what I'm challenging you to do is difficult. It is hard making new friends. I get it. But it is so necessary. If you have a circle around you now that have all those things, if you have a circle around you that take you where you need to go even though you don't want to, they take you to places that you can't go, and they're willing to carry you there and protect you and provide for you. If you have a circle that believes for you, if you have a circle that believes in you, count yourself highly blessed. Amen. And you treasure that circle. But whenever you think about being in a circle and then the right circle, I'm going to be honest with you. Initially, many of us will first migrate to a circle, especially a new circle, if we feel as if there's something that we can get from the circle. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can be in a hard place financially, and you can think, maybe somebody will help me out. Or you get into a circle of people who are well off financially, maybe they can help me out. Maybe if I'm in this circle, they can help me find a job, or they can help me get into a place I can't get into. And that very well may be true. And just being honest, a lot of us do that when we first enter into a new circle. We have an emotional need, it could be a physical need, a spiritual need, and we're looking for some lifelines. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you can't stay in the taker mode, or that circle will cease to be your circle. You know, Proverbs says, a leech has two daughters, give, give. Someone who is being a leech in a circle, they're constantly looking to be given to, but they don't give, they won't be allowed to stay in that circle very long. So this is what I challenge you to do. Find a good circle. Take someone where they need to go. Luke chapter 6 says, give and you will receive. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. In other words, what you sow, you will also reap. So look for, in your circle, look for opportunities to take others where they need to go when they may not want to be there. Take someone where they can't go. Protect them. Being willing to carry them to a place that they simply can't get there on their own. Be willing to take a risk for them, as the paralyzed friends were willing to take a risk. You believe for them. When they can't, they have been in a dark spot, they simply cannot see how they can get out. You believe for them. When their faith wavers, you stand in the gap for them. And lastly, believe in them. See the God in them. See the person that they could be. See the person that God desires them to be. Come alongside them. Make a sacrifice. You know, you can't have true friendships without willing to sacrifice. Be uncomfortable. It costs you something. Go with them when you don't want to go. Be with them when you don't want to be. Give to them when you don't want to give. Serve them when you don't want to serve. Because in order to stay in the right circle, we have to be a part of the right circle. We have to be on the other side of that circle. But we look for opportunities to give to others. When you pour seed of grace and love and forgiveness in the life of someone, it will come back to you. Whatever measure you give, it will be measured back to you. And Scripture says not only measured back to you, but it goes on to say it will be poured back into you until it's overflowing. We always get more back from acts of righteousness. So this is my challenge to you. Examine where you are and see if you have the right circle. It has to be the right circle. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Your future relies on this very thing. When I was in my younger days, I got wrapped up with the wrong crowd. Even though my mom and dad raised me in church, because the crowd I chose to run with, they chose drugs, I chose drugs. They chose to break into people's houses in order to get money, I chose that. That was so far removed of who I was. And then by the grace of God, I found myself in a new circle. When I first joined that circle, I didn't believe. I wasn't a believer. But because all those in that circle were believers, I became to be a believer. And in that little circle of friends, all of them served God their whole life. Some went on to be missionaries overseas. Some became pastors and leaders in that one little circle here in Orangeburg. And that influenced me for the rest of my life, having the right circle. You may have to abandon the circle in order to get in the right one. If you're watching online with us, we have we groups. We call them we groups. And these are circles of friends. And I'll be honest with you, there's not a circle in this church that has it all together. Not everybody may be nice to you. Not everybody may believe like you. Everybody may not like you. And you may not like everybody else. But you know what? You have to start. It's a risk creating and being involved in a new circle. If you go to our website, mycornerstone.me, there's a tab there called We Groups. If you click on that tab, you can see all the groups that we have here at the church. We would encourage you to join one of those. Some are online, some are in person, some are a combination of all. But we understand that we're better together than we could ever be alone. God created you that way. God put his footprint, his fingerprint on you. And just like bees, we are hardwired to build things together. We need protection and we need to protect others. We need provision and we need to provide for others. That only occurs when you're in the right circle of friends. Let's pray together. God, we thank you that you created us to be like you. You created us to desire and long for relationships, meaningful relationships. God, we want to be where people are willing to take us where we need to go. Carry us where we can't go. Believe for us when we have nothing to believe for. And they believe in us. Even when we lose the ability to believe in ourselves, they still see you in us. God, I pray that every person in the sound of my voice would begin the process of seeking out not just a circle or any circle, but the right circle. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We'll see you next time.